Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome all of you to the house of God. Thank you for coming in. It's been stormy today, and I know all of you worked today, most of you, and you're tired and weary and hungry, and just appreciate you being here. It's a privilege and honor to be in the house of God. There's a lot of places you could be, but this is the place you should be. I take it not lightly, church attendance. It amazes me how some folks can work all week, and comes weekend on Sunday morning, they want to lay in bed and not come to church and give God thanks that they had a job to go to all week. And just praise His holy name. Talked to our pastor. He gave me a call yesterday and said that they were about to walk down to the shore and watch the sunset, and asked me would I fill in for tonight, and that's a privilege. And just be praying for them as they're still on vacation. Brother Carey and his wife made it back, and thank the Lord for that. And I'm sure all y'all heard the big fish stories and such. But we'll move on with our service, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 1 and chapter 2, just one verse in chapter 1, and we'll mostly be in chapter 2. But we'll read a verse of Scripture and get started, and I'll try to get you out of here early. My wife says, wrap it up by 8. So she said, don't get excited, but I do get excited sometimes. You should get excited about the Word of God. You probably won't hear anything new tonight that you haven't heard before because it's the Word of God. But it can so be inspiring and change you just by looking at something again. And as a matter of fact, I had preached part of this message at the rescue mission last week. And I had something else I was studying, and I was going to work, and I had read some of this morning again, and coming home from work today, I saw a big bolt of lightning just come right out of the sky, and I mean it lasted for like 2 or 3 minutes, just going straight to the ground. And I looked at it and said, wow, that's the awesome power of God. And you know, we don't, in our little feeble minds, really understand the power of Almighty God. So I want to read verse 18 to you, and then we'll be seated, and we're going. Chapter 1, verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, notice that, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Lord, I thank You. Thank You for these folks that have come out to hear the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray You help me, for I'm nothing without You, Lord. I need Your touch tonight. Lord, You know I've worked today, as many of these have, and dealt with the world all day, but Lord, I need You right now. I pray You be with us, lead, guide, and direct the service. The words that I say, Lord, as David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. That's a powerful verse of Scripture right there about the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we take that for granted too often. The world don't. It says there that to them that perish is foolishness. They don't take it serious. Brother Bobby, they don't care about it. They don't want to listen to the preacher. They don't want to hear you talk about the Word of God. I had some conversation with a couple guys at my job today, and we talked about the Word of God and how so many people, they believe there's a God. They've never accepted Jesus Christ. So they're still thinking of, because if they believe in God, it may be acceptable in man's eyes. In other words, they'll fit in around the church, or they'll fit in around the community if they just acknowledge there is a God. There is a God. There's one God. And His Son, Jesus Christ, is the only way we have redemption, through Him. So, it's saved. It is the power of God. That word power and the power of God just amazes me. I looked up the word power in the Webster's Dictionary, and I'm going to give you a definition of it here, what it says. It says that power, I've got it written down here, is the ability, act or ability, to produce an effect. Now, we have ability to produce things and do things, but they do not affect anything like what God does. I mean, you think about that for a minute. To produce an effect, they still, the wise men of this world, and we're going to read on here just a little bit about the wise and the wisdom of the world. They, all these theologians and I call them scribes because they write a lot of books by a bunch of junk trying to disprove God's Word. They're still the evolutionist and all these folks. They're so smart. But God says that it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, there in verse 19, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? That's the writers of these books, you know. And where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It's by the foolishness of this world. You remember from the Genesis Bible study that by the wisdom of the world, men chose not to believe in God. Remember when they built the Tower of Babel? They thought they were smart. They just going to get their own way to heaven. Nimrod and his bunch, they were wise. They got smart. The world's getting smarter and smarter. All this internet and computers, it's growing and growing. You can text message somebody all over the world. That just amazes me. But what are they texting each other? This internet service we have here at the church for the Word of God, that's wonderful. Wonderful. We ought to praise God that we have the ability and the capability of some folks that can do that here. And it goes out to people who need the help. But Genesis 1, verse 3, I think it says, and God said, let there be light. Bang, it was light. I mean, that's the act or the ability to produce an effect. I mean, you've been down to Stone Mountain and seen them laser light shows. You know, that's pretty amazing. Man can create a nuclear bomb that will blow up and just make a big flash, a big mushroom cloud. But can he create light like God? I mean, that changed. The world was darkness, void. It says, the Scripture said it was void, full of darkness. He said, that's that big bang theory they're trying to figure out. It was a big bang. It was God's spoken word. Bang, there was light. He commanded it, it happened. That's the power of God. That's the power we're talking about. We are saved by the power of God through His grace, by faith in Him. The world don't understand. They're too smart. You ever met somebody that's just too smart for their own good? They ain't got no common sense. They can tell you 500 ways to do something, but they can't change a light bulb. I mean, and the world is like that, and they put their faith in people like that. Don't put your faith in the smart people of this world. Y'all been watching the news about this big oil spill they got out there. That's amazing, some of the technology they got. I heard their saw got trapped in the pipe today, trying pinched in it. Me and my boss, believe it or not, was standing there talking this morning. We was cutting some tubing out of a car with a Ziz wheel, and was talking about that saw blade. Any of you know anything about a little zip wheel? When you get cutting a pipe, it'll pinch it. Right. He said, that thing's going to get down there and that blade's going to get pinched. What are they going to do? I said, I don't know. I said, they'll be able to stop that when God gets ready for them to stop it. I mean, all the scientists in the world and the smarts, the technology, can't fix it unless God allows it to be fixed. I mean, it's out of our control. It's all in the power of God. All power. Matthew 28:18 says, all power is given unto me. Jesus teaching his disciples in heaven and earth. He has all power. There's not one of us in here could have walked in this church without him. Without him. You know, that's power. That's awesome power. For after the in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's what we was talking about just a minute ago. And it pleased God, though, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. People laugh at preachers. People laugh at faithful church folks. So you know, if you look around, probably in your neighborhood, there's some folks watch you on Sunday morning. Get ready to go to church. There they go again. Toting their Bibles, all dressed up, going to church. They're wasting their time. So they don't understand and think it's foolishness. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God. So that's what gets me up on Sunday morning to come to church. It ain't me. My old flesh don't want to get up and come to church on Sunday. It's the power of God. It's what makes me go over to the nursing home and preach to them folks that nobody don't want to have nothing to do with no more. A lot of them have just been put over there and forgotten about, be honest with you. Their families just put them over there and forgot about them. Some of them not, but some of them have. And what makes me do that? Not my flesh. Y'all been to nursing homes, a lot of you. It smells bad. It just about every time I go over, I get sick from a virus or something. But I do it the power of God. I don't have nothing to do with it. My flesh don't get... It's the power of God. It's the same thing that, Brother Allen, every morning when I get out of bed, that I go in there and get on my knees in the floor and acknowledge Him. That's the power of God. The power of God's amazing. Let's look at chapter 2 here, and we'll get, I'll jump back and read one more verse in chapter 1. I don't mean to skip around, but God's given me so much here, I want to cram it all into what little time we got. Chapter 2 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," this is Paul's writing to the church of Corinth, "came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." I can't help you unless God helps me. And I'm not a very what you would call an educated man. Some of you are college educated. I've got some technical school and military training. But my speech is kind of messed up. I'm a redneck. I'm a country boy. And that's just the way I am. Yeah, I am what I am by the grace of God. I can't quote stuff to you like a dictionary. But it's not of excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony. I don't have to give you the testimony of God. God's testimony, His Spirit bears witness with the Spirit itself. God's testimony stands alone. You shouldn't give another man's testimony if he's present. You know, it's good to tell folks about what folks has done for you and what folks has done for other folks, but I wouldn't give Brother James his testimony and him sitting here. That's up to Brother James to testify when the power of God swells up in him and works in him. Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you." You see, I don't know your hearts tonight. I know all of you in here is faithful. All of you. Thank God for you for being here on Wednesday nights. It's been storming all day. And like I said, you most of you's working. You're tired. You knew the pastor was out of town. You didn't know who was preaching tonight, but you showed up. You know, because you're faithful. Power of God got you here. I don't know your heart, but I know one thing. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the power of God we're talking about. It's the power of God that when He was King in heaven on the throne, He'd give all that up. He'd give up a crown of glory to come down to earth and take upon his head a crown of thorns. Suffering. Christ crucified. Get that picture in your head. He'd give up all that to come down here. That's power of God. It wasn't that He had to. He had all power then. He gave up all power there to come here and be just a man in the flesh. Take upon that that crown of thorns, I was looking up some stuff on it. I'm not finished with it. God hadn't gave me what He wants me to have there, I'm sure, but the suffering that He went through just with that on His head and all them little thorns sticking in there, and it got me to thinking about the suffering that we go through as Christians, and He set an example. You're going to have troubles all around you the whole time that you're here on this earth. And He suffered for us, and He died for our sins. Those sufferings that we have, that the Scripture says they're not even worthy to be compared. Not even worthy. We just think we had a bad day. I mean, we just think we had it. And Paul says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom." So I don't want to let you know what I think. I want to let you know what God's Word says here. It ain't about how smart I am and how I can tell you that you need to do this, you need to do that to get to heaven. There's only one thing you need to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the gospel of Christ. It says, not with words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. There's that word power again. Now look at verse 5. This is where we're going to take our text. And it says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't put your trust in man. Put your hope of salvation in man. It's in the power of God. We have no power but of God. Matter of fact, Romans 13:1 says that. There's no power given but of God. The president of these United States holds the highest office politically in this country. A lot of us don't like it because he is president. But he has no power but of God. He was to let God put him there. God has a purpose for that, a reason for that, a plan for that. We don't understand it. You know, me as a Christian, I object to it. But, you know, what we need to do is pray. God has that power about Him, see, that He can turneth the heart of kings. Ain't that what Scripture says? He turneth the heart of kings. He can change our president from being a Muslim to being a born-again Christian just like that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what needs to happen. Just like that. And then things will start going in this country a little better. Power of God. There's a lot of positions held by folks, and they don't understand and don't realize that they have no power but of God. Have no power but of God. It's God has all the power. He's in control. I looked out the back door this morning, and it was getting daylight. The sun wasn't shining yet because it was misty this morning from the rain and stuff, but it got light again this morning. Later on today, the sun was shining. I was telling you, I was coming home from work, and I saw this big bolt of lightning. And I said, well, God did that. And the Scripture says He maketh the lightnings to lightning. He knows where they start and where they go in before they even happen. And I get thinking, well, He's in control. We don't have anything to do with anything. Most of us in here get up every morning. We do the same thing every day. We go about our business, not even thinking of what's going on until something sometimes trips us and makes us stop for a minute and stand still and know that He is God. See, He's in complete control. There's some things going on in my life right now, and I'm glad He's in control. I'm glad He's in control. I have trouble keeping up with my tools at work. My wife, she can't keep up with her car keys and her cell phone. She'll tell me, call my phone and where to ring, where I can find it. You know, I'm glad He's in control. I can't keep up with that. How am I going to keep up with my salvation? The Scripture says that we are kept by the power of God. We are kept. We are sealed. The day you were saved, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. That's what it said right up there, the Spirit and the power. And we are sealed with that. If it was up to us to keep our salvation, everybody in here would have done lost it last week one day. But thank God we're kept by the power of God. He's in control. I think it's Psalms 24 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That pretty much covers everything and everybody, don't it? Unless you're from Mars or Jupiter or somewhere. That pretty much covers it all. He's in control of all of it. I went out on the deck. I'm going to share this with you. Right before I got in the truck to come over here, and I just stand there, and God gave me this little poem. And I wrote, I ain't a poet. I had some thoughts. And so He makes the sun to shine, and He makes the dead to rise. He makes the winds to blow, and the waters to flow. He makes the old saints weep, and He makes the new saints shout. He is God, without a doubt. I mean, it's just inconceivable to me, the power of God. It's the power of God. It says, Jesus Christ, think about that. He was given His power. I quoted to you Matthew 28:18 earlier about all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. It's what Jesus told His disciples. And there's no other person that had more of an effect on this earth in history of this earth. The history of no other man has ever made such a change in the world than Jesus Christ. He changed the whole way people looked at religion and changed it into salvation. The word trusting in the Lord, and you see a lot in the Old Testament, changed over to faith in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. You know, if you read in the Old Testament a lot, you have to really study the Scriptures, but like Abraham, he trusted in the Lord. He says he trusted in the Lord. It was counted in him for righteousness, just for trusting in God. So we're supposed to trust in the Lord. But then after Jesus Christ came and was crucified, in the New Testament, you still find the word trust, but you find the word faith so much, and grace. It's through that faith and grace. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we have that. No other person. From the crown of glory He was wearing to the crown of thorns to the cross. That word power has another meaning also. It has a meaning that it says to possess authority. That's a pretty simple meaning, to possess authority. Can you think of anybody in history that has more authority than Jesus Christ? Now we're talking about the Son of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. John 1 says what, Brother Steve? John 1, 1.
And be most word with us, word was God.
We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Word, God. All three the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has authority. Over in Matthew 7, Jesus was teaching, and it says that the people were just astonished at His doctrine. They were they never heard a man teach like this. They didn't know what was going on. He says, and His doctrine was of the Father. For He taught it, the Scripture says, for He taught as one having authority. He had authority, all power given unto Him on heaven and earth. John 7, you know, they sent here's them scribes again, the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't want Him teaching the Word of God and preaching anymore, so they sent some soldiers out there to get Him, arrest Him. They was going to kill Him. And the soldiers went out there to where He was, and He was teaching some folks. And they got up close to where He was at, and then they just stopped. And they were just so confounded by His words, and they couldn't do anything. It just changed them right there. They turned back and went back. And they asked them, the scribes and Pharisees asked Him, the soldiers, when they got back, said, well, where is He? He said, never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake with someone with authority. And we're talking about God's Word the authority of God's Word. The world don't pay any attention. They don't care about God's Word. They don't care about what God has to say. They'd rather hear about what man has to say. They want to put their trust in Washington, D.C. and the words of our politicians. They need to look into God's Word. Our pastor was preaching last week on Wednesday night, I believe it was, about running to the finance company when you get trouble. Running to one of your friends, one of your relatives to seek the help you need. The help you need is in the power of God. He has the power to do all things. We have no control. All you need to do is pray. 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 It says here that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. I know a lot of smart men. Paul, the writer of this letter, if you look at the New Testament, he's the writer, not the author, God being the author, most of the New Testament epistles. He could speak, I believe, 7 different languages fluently. He was educated. He was probably the most educated man of his time. He was just extremely smart. But Paul makes it a point to tell them, look, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I wanted to know, all I wanted to tell you. We're going to look back at verse 30 in chapter 1 here in 29. And this is where we need to take a look at ourselves and see where our power comes from. I don't know about y'all, I'm guilty. I get puffed up sometimes. I'm just a sinner saved by God's grace. And you know, you get things bothering you in this world. Knowing I was going to be able to preach Lord will tonight, I focused my attention on God's Word, and this morning Satan started barking at me like a dog. First thing, I get to work, he started barking at me like a dog again. That's what he is, a dog, you know that. And I just kept my mind on God. I was over there at lunchtime, matter of fact, looking over this scripture again, and my boss comes up, and one of the guys from the paint shop, and we didn't mean to bother you, that's more important. They just wanted me to help them do it. They just left me alone. And you know, that's a blessing to people. They are people in the world that care about God's Word. They are people like y'all sitting here that put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. That's what the world's got a lot of trouble with. And we do it ourselves sometimes. We're all guilty of it. But I notice that, especially on these ball games. I love ball. I love baseball and football and just all kinds of sports. But you watch them guys and they get up there and they put on a good show, and the first thing they do is want to brag on themselves and pound on their chest like they're somebody. And they don't realize they can't do nothing without God. God could break their legs tomorrow, give them a serious illness. They'd never be able to play that ball again. A lot of them won't even acknowledge that He gives them that ability. They'll get up there and they'll thank their mom and their dad and their coach. They don't thank God. Shame on you. If you're an athlete, shame on you for not thanking God for your ability and not using your ability to tell other people how good God has been to you. Shame on you. That's for folks listening. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, verse 30 here, there's a lot in it, and I know I ain't going to get it all out, but I'm going to give you some points, and you take them home with you and chew on them a while. It says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, just take them 4 words there and write them down somewhere or circle them there in your Bible. When you get time, look those words up and see what the meaning of those words are and come to realize that the first one there, wisdom, we don't have none of that. The Proverbs over in chapter 2, I believe it is, says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. In other words, if you don't reverence God, you're not smart at all. It don't matter how much brain sense you got, how much book sense you've got. If you do not reverence God, fear the Lord, in other words, you have no wisdom. That's where your wisdom comes from. And righteousness, I believe our righteousness is filthy rags. It says right here that who of God, He's made unto us this through His Son Jesus Christ here, and a sanctification. If we had to keep ourselves clean, they wouldn't be enough liquid soap or little scrubby brushes or to keep us clean. I mean, it just don't happen. Man can't do that. If I know I got to preach and I try extra hard, you know how you just put an extra effort into something to keep yourself clean all week. And it's harder that week for me to do it than if I knowed I didn't have to preach. It's just the way we are. That's the way our flesh is. That's where our flesh is. We have to submit to the Spirit completely and let Him take care of the sanctification. You know how you stay clean? Right here. Right here. I believe John 17:17 it might be, says, sanctify them
in the truth,
for thy word is the truth. That's how you stay clean. You can't keep yourself clean. You got to let the power of God do it. You got to stay in God's word. You got to stay on your knees. And redemption. That redemption there. Man has no hope of redemption by himself. By himself. Smartest man in the world ain't going to get to heaven unless he accepts Jesus Christ. Richest man in the world ain't going to get to heaven unless he accepts Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get there. We was talking about that one guy at work today. We was both praying about it. We said he acts so religious and so godly sometimes, but his heart ain't in it. His heart is so far away from that he's just not in it. Look back at verse 5 there in chapter 2. It says that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm going to give you these four things that I wrote down that's in that power of God, and you can look back and study them, and maybe it'll help you this week. It sure has helped me the last couple of weeks. Number one is provisions and the power of God. You can look back over in Exodus when the children of Israel were being led by Moses out of the wilderness, and by the power of God, they were provided for. He gave them manna from heaven to eat. He put a cloud for a pillow over their head and hot. I was out there today, and it got hot. It come a little shower, and they got the big trailer they haul the cars on sitting there. And I looked over there, and old Jake, the dog, he's smarter than I was. He was laying in the shade. I was out there in the sun. So I walk over and get in the shade by Jake. Now, thank you, Lord, for providing the shade. You ever been working outside cutting grass or weed eating? I know me and Brother Wendell has. We sat down here one day under the trees and you get all hot and sweaty, and all of a sudden just that little breeze comes up that's just right at the right time just to cool you down a little bit. Brother Tim, you know what I'm talking about. God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do it. He makes the wind to blow. We don't know whether it comes from. You don't never know. That bolt of lightning, I saw it. It hit somewhere. It was just so erratic. It went straight down to the ground, and I mean, it was powerful. God did it for a reason. He didn't have to do it, but He did it. He did it for a reason. Maybe it was to knock an old dead tree down or something. You get that protection also from the power of God. I believe it was David that in Psalms 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You ain't got to fear no man. Psalm 27, "Whom shall I fear? Who shall I be afraid of?" You got the power of God. You know you have that power. If you saved, you have that same power in you. That's the same power we're talking about here. It's just hard for me to grasp that I have that kind of power in me, but I don't know how to utilize it. That's how we are. One day, if we could get a grasp on it and God, I think God limits what we can do, but on the other hand, we as flesh try to limit God. I believe it said that the children of Israel, they tried to limit the Holy One of Israel. They tried to put limits on God, what He could do. You can't put limits on something that has no limit. He has unlimited power. Unlimited. That power supply ain't gonna never run out. Never run out. No peace. No power, no peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For He is our peace." It also has one more thing about that protection. I think I shared this with the Sunday school class that the Darius, the king of Persia, when he cast that decree about prayer, praying to his God. Remember the little guy's name, Daniel? And said they cast him into a den of lions because he was praying. And the old king, he had them put that rock on there and seal it with the king's seal, man's seal. And they went over the next day and opened it up, and Daniel was standing there, and the lions were still down there. They was probably still hungry, but the Scripture says that God shut their mouth. Power of God. Hey, I don't ever want to get thrown in no den full of lions or in no alligator pit. But you think about that. Did Daniel have anything to do with that? Power of God. God shut their mouth. God shut their mouth. And I think it was the same little fellow that was cast into that fiery furnace, wasn't it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, right.
So he was an example to them boys, and they knew, and something protected them in there. Power of God. They said there's four of them in there, right? Walking around. Oh, yeah, that's the power of God. Said they come out of there, didn't even smell like smoke. Ain't that something? Power of God. That's protection. There's preservation. All these are P's. Provisions, protection, the preservation, the power of God. I mentioned it earlier. I didn't want to give it away. It's in 1 Peter, verse 4 and verse 5. It says, I want to make sure I read it right. Verse 4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's power we was talking about earlier, about keeping you. You don't have to worry about it. Verse 4 there says that it's, you got that inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, it's reserved. You got reservations. You ever went somewhere without reservations? I've had reservations and got there and they told me they wasn't no good. Said that they canceled them. They moved some more people in, or a big conference happened. And me and my wife drove all the way back from Charlotte, North Carolina one night because of a mix-up with some reservations. I got in the flesh and we come home in a hurry, but you know, I'm just glad to know that when I get to heaven, there ain't going to be somebody standing there at the desk and saying, your reservation ain't no good. Your credit card got canceled. It says right here, you are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation. Ain't that wonderful? Preservation. Last thing I want to share with you is, there's also praise in the power of God. And the world don't understand that at all. They don't understand that. There's praise in the power of God because of His presence there. You know, if you don't have that power, you've never been saved. You don't have that presence. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. It says, Brother Justin says sometimes he's, they were spiritually discerned, right? They understood not. They couldn't understand it all. But when you get down in the presence of an Almighty God, if it's in your prayer closet or if it's in your Bible study time, Whether it's in here singing a song. I've sat back there before and Miss Judy get up here and sing, and Miss Laura, and something in that song, and the children sometimes, they got more of the power of God in them than a lot of us adults have. They sang that song, I've Got a Mansion, just over in heaven, what we just looked at there, reserved. And you know, them babies, some of them just been saved. They know more about that than a lot of adults do. And it's a shame that it's that way in this world. The world don't understand. Paul says over in Romans 1, verse 16, and I want to stand with this, and for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're talking about the gospel of Christ. That's the power of God. The Scripture refers to it many times. It's that He came and He died for us. On the third glorious day, He was resurrected. He now sits on the right hand of the Father, the throne of God, making intercession for us. We need an intercessor. We need a mediator. There's only one between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other way. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, that's absolutely essential for man's salvation. Absolutely. The gospel of Christ. How else do you get to heaven? There's no other way. There's no other way. He said, for I am the truth, I am the life, I am the way. The power of God. We're going to close with a prayer. And I want all of you to think about the power of God and think about some things. Look back on your life since you've been saved, and if you can stand to look at it. I can't. Look back at some of your life before you were saved and see the things that God did for you that you didn't even understand then. You didn't know anything about the power of God, but you realize now since you've been saved, you were even kept then by the power of God. You were kept then. Don't let this world get you down. Don't let what the news on the television has to say. Don't worry about that. It's the power of God that keeps us. No power, no peace, no word, no wisdom.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.